And let's begin to read in Matthew 6 and verse 19. And the Bible says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, for nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day, is the evil thereof." You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We beg of you to come by and speak to hearts today. You certainly know what's needed in this sanctuary today and who's sitting here. And, Lord, the needs that are upon folks' hearts. And maybe somebody lost needs to get saved. Deal with their heart. Bring them under conviction that they would move and trust you. And, Lord, there may be somebody that just needs to draw close to you. Maybe repent of sin and draw close. And I pray they'd do that today. But Lord, while we might preach, I pray you'd give us unction from the Holy One. And, Lord, give us good liberty and that to preach today. Lord, I pray folk would be very attentive in that to the Word of God. And you'd bind Satan and hinder him from this service. And do not let him hinder it. But Lord, keep him far away. And we just want to hear from heaven today. Please help us today while we might preach. And Lord, we'll tell you again that we love you and ask you to save that sinner's nearest hell. For all these things in Jesus' name we do ask and do pray. Amen and amen. As I looked at this passage of Scripture and looked at the message, the thought of it today, I want to preach on what do you make much of? I've talked about this message for a little while. And what we make much of is what we'll do much of, if you'd let me say that today. Let me put it to you like this. If we make much of something, if you like doing something, let me say this in secular thoughts. If you like to play golf, then chances are you'll make much of it and you'll go play it a lot. If you like to hunt, then you'll make much of it. If you like to fish, you'll make much of it. And in turn, there's nothing wrong with those things. If you like to hunt and fish and play golf or whatever you like to do, I'm not preaching against those things. But it's what we make much of. It's what gets us in trouble sometimes when we are not doing what we should for Christ. As we look back in this chapter, as Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount, he preaches and teaches about almsgiving and then prayer time and how to pray and then on fasting. But then we picked up in the portion of Scripture here where he talks about our treasure and that we shouldn't worry over our treasure and that we should put our treasure and that in heaven. I noticed that in verse 33, I always gravitate to this verse here where he says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." If we'll do that first, if we'll make much of him and much of what he wants us to do, then he'll add everything else to us. That's where I'm going to try to get to today. if I can. But I'm afraid a lot of times we make much of other things that really just don't matter and really has no bearing when it comes for the cause of Christ. Listen, you know, Paul talked about at one point that he told one church over there that he was glad to spend and be spent for them. Let me ask you this morning, and I have to ask my own selfish question, how many of us as believers and as Christians want to spend and be spent and that for Christ? How many of us want to give our life? And then I know you gave your life to Him and that for salvation. But what about seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and doing what He wants? And then He'll allow us to do what we want sometimes. I can tell you this morning that if we're faithful in little, that we'll be faithful in much. But if we're faithful, if we're unfaithful in little, we won't be faithful in much today. And so you can already tell this is going to be an exciting message. Amen. I want it to be exciting for us today. And let me say this. I thought about this this morning. There are times that I stand behind this pulpit and I bring a message and I've got an idea how it's going to go. And sometimes it goes just exactly like I think it's going to go. Then there's other times I think I know how it's going to go and it don't go nothing like I think it's going to go. Then we'll get into the third time that I get up here and I don't have a clue of how it's going to go. And that's how we are this morning. Amen. All I'm going to do is preach what God's gave you or gave me. Amen. I want you to look right here at what He deals with and that first. In verse 19, He deals in that with our treasure. Do you make much and that of treasure today? You know, treasure is something that is wealth that is accumulated or a stock or store of money. A great quantity of anything collected for future use or something that is valued very much. And I believe and honestly believe that as He talks about this, when He talks about laying up treasures upon the earth, I believe that He's literally talking about money right here. I believe He's talking about money and treasure and things that we can accumulate and stuff. Listen, there's a lot of people today, and believers included, they make much of what they have. Do you realize that what you have can be taken away tomorrow? As a matter of fact, it can be taken away today. I mean, before you can get home, it can all be gone and be taken away. Listen, I ain't against you having stuff. God ain't against you having stuff and having money. But friend, when you make much of it, therein lies the problem. What did He say right here? He said, lay not up for yourself treasure upon the earth where moth and rust is corrupt and where thieves can break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Hey, listen, ain't you glad today that, friend, that we have something in Christ Jesus the Lord as children of God that moth and rust can't corrupt and the thief cannot break through and steal and get under. I've got some things in heaven today that cannot be taken away from me. Amen. Hey, listen, the Bible talks about in the book of Exodus and in the book of Psalms, I believe it is, and other places, that God calls Israel a peculiar treasure. Would God call us His peculiar treasure today? I hope so. I know He does the church and the whole that we are a treasure to Him. But I mean, hey, that means we're worth something to Him. We're worth something to Him. Hey, listen, God told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 28 that if they would just follow Him, that He would open His good treasure. Wouldn't you rather eat and feed out of the treasure of God and have the treasure of God in your life and in your home than anything that this world has to provide today? Wouldn't you rather have the peace and the joy and the comfort of God in your life today and that knowing Christ and following Him and having Him happy with you and pleased with you and have Him blessing you than have all the blessings that this world can provide today? As He is talking later on down in the verses right here, and I'm getting ahead of myself. But you know what? You know what He deals with? You know what Jesus deals with right here? And I've dealt with these scriptures before. But He deals with food and raiment. Those are the two things that He deals with right here. He deals with food and raiment. How He's going to feed us and how He's going to clothe us. You know what Paul said, I believe it was, in the book of 1 Timothy over there at one point. And he said, having food and raiment, therewith let us be content. You know, if we've got food and raiment, we ought to be content.
How not that we have to have a bank account full. How not that we have to have a cupboard full. How not that we have to have a good house, a best house. Hey, Paul said, having food and raiment, let us be content. And right here in the book of Matthew says that He's going to provide our food and raiment. As long as we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Do you realize that everything else you've got, hey, is because God loves you and has blessed you and took care of you today? If ain't one of us sitting in here today, I deserve what everything God has done for us. Amen. Hey, every one of us ought to get up and shout it. How when them girls was up here singing, God has been so good to me. Hey, I'm telling you, He's been more good to you than you could ever imagine. Think about what you are and who you are and how you've failed God over the years. And He's still been good to you. I've failed Him miserably at times, but yet God still picks me up, knocks the dirt off of me, and puts me back on the horse, if you would, and sets me back on the rock. And here we go again in adding service for Him.
But our treasure sometimes... things get in the way and that of serving the Lord, what we make much of. Can I say today that as the thieves right here would break through and steal so it could be taken away, that love of money. You know, if you go and you look in Luke chapter 12, you find the scripture that deals with the rich farmer. And you know, the Bible said that his fields have produced so much that he had more stuff that he had barns to put it in. As a matter of fact, let me read you something right here. I want you to see something. As Jesus starts this passage of Scripture over here, in Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, He said, and He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Do you realize that your life is not made up of what you have today? It's not made up of your treasure. It's not made up of what's in your home or your home. It's not made up of your bank account. It's not made up of your vehicles. It's not, I'm telling you right now, there is people that is killing themselves. Today I'm talking about believers that's got more faith and stock in what they've got in the bank than what they've got in God today. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, God, I can move when nobody else can. Hey, God will move when your bank account's empty. God will move when your car won't start. God will just move, friend, if we trust Him and follow Him today. I hope you don't make much of your bank account. I believe God wants us just to follow Him and He can handle the rest. You saying God don't want me to have stuff? I'm going to tell you something this morning. God don't want you to have stuff when that stuff's going to be in front of Him. Now, if you can have stuff and not put it in front of Him, that's great. I mean, what's the old saying? I get all you can and can't all you get. I mean, hey, I'm just being honest with you. If you can do that and serve God with fullness and joy of heart, have at it. Amen. But notice He said that it's not made up of what a man possesseth. So then He begins to tell this parable. He's making a parable unto them saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I'll pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, thou hast much goods. I laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He made much of what he had, but he never made much of the Lord. I think there's a lot of people making much of possessions and stuff and what they want, what they can have. Again, I'm not against you having stuff. I don't think God is. But I'm telling you, when it's in front of God, there's something wrong. You know, Bible talks about the love of money in the book of 1 Timothy over there. How it says the love of money is the root of all evil. And he talks about how that, which while some have coveted after, have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. If we make much of our stuff instead of the Lord, you know what that's going to do? That's going to ruin us. That rich young ruler over there in Luke chapter 18, the first message I ever preached, I preached on that feller. Brother Marvin, I preached for about 5 minutes and sat down. Some of y'all wish I'd do that now. Luke chapter 18, he comes to the Lord over there. And he asks the Lord, he says, "Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And in Luke 18 and verse 18, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother." And he said unto, and he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." And when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, "Yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." Jesus said, you probably have. Which I'll be honest with you, he lied a little bit right there. And the book of James tells us that if you've offended in one point, then you've offended in all. Jesus said, if you want eternal life, then you know the law, you know the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, I've kept all these from my youth up, but yet he lacked in one place. And it said that Jesus said, take all that you have and go sell it and distribute to the poor. And then he told him to do something else, come and follow me. And that's how I have treasure in heaven. And he said this, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, what do you think kept him from following the Lord? It was his stuff, wasn't it? It was his treasure. What you make much of is what you're going to do with. He made more of his treasure than he made of following Christ. They some people that their money will not allow them and that to follow God. They some people probably got more money than I'll ever know that they got, but yet you don't know it because it's not a big deal to them. They can follow Christ with it. Sometimes I wonder, Brother Jeff, is that why the Lord don't give me a lot of money? It's because he's afraid he knows I probably won't follow him. I forget which missionary it was that I believe they were down in Haiti or the Dominican Republic, and they took up money for the national pastor that was down there. And I mean, those men that were down there, they took up a good offering for him and was going to give it to him before they left. And as they got ready to leave, they gave him that money and he would not take it. He would not take their money. And here's what he said. He said, "Money make me weak. Money make me weak." What makes us weak in serving Christ today? It may not be money. That may not be your treasure. That may not be what you're laid up in today. I'm telling you, that you lay up. Those things that keep us from serving the Lord is what we're talking about. Some people, their job has kept them. They make much or more of their job than they do in that in serving Christ. Hello? You know, your job can keep you away from serving God. Service just don't only... Listen, I'm telling you, service starts in the house of God and then it goes out. It don't end here. And I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think you can serve the Lord right apart from being in the church. He ordained the church. He died for the church. He gave us the church. He tells us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of sinning. I believe He wants folk to go to church. Amen. That's good for you this morning. A lot of people, they let their job hinder them and that in serving Christ. It's a treasure to them. It's worth to them. I'm not saying not work. I'm saying just put it in the place where it belongs. Some people have even let their own children get in front of them and God. I think you ought to dote on your children. I think they ought to be a precious treasure to you. I just don't think they ought to be between you and God. What do you mean? Go back and look in the book of 1 Samuel and tell me what Eli done. Tell me what Eli done. God was telling Eli, you've got to get your boys right. You've got to get them right. You've got to get them out of the tabernacle. You've got to get them right. Hey, they're wrong in what they're doing. And God told Eli that more than once, and yet Eli didn't listen. And it cost him in the long run.
But then in the same book, you find a lady by the name of Hannah who has a little boy by the name of Samuel, and she just gives him to God. And she says, Lord, I just want you to take him and do with him what you can and do with him what you will. You see the two differences right here? Instead of Samuel getting away of her son, as a matter of fact, you ought to go over and read 1 Samuel chapter 2 sometime, and that's Hannah's prayer and praise for having Samuel. And for what God had done and given her Samuel. And in turn, she just turned around and gave him back to the Lord. Some people have got their treasure between them and the Lord. He tells us to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why is that? He explains that in the very next verse, because he said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. That's what you're going to want to do. That's what you'll be doing. That's where you'll be found out and what you'll be making much of. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, when we decide that we're going to serve the Lord, does not matter. Does not matter whether our, I've watched parents defend their grown children for them being out of the will of God. Why would you do that? If your grown child is out of the will of God and you know it, the preacher knows it, and everybody else knows it, you ought not to deny it, but you ought to just go ahead and accept it so you can pray for them. Amen. If you're denying it, hey, you need to be praying for them today if they ain't right with God. I'm afraid what happens a lot of times is we just make much out of things that we shouldn't make much out of, and we miss the mark in that in serving Christ. Can I tell you how I look at a lot of things that I have and a lot of things that I do secularly, if I could say it that way, and it don't matter to me. It just don't matter. You say, well, you ought to try to do without, preacher. And not have, hey, listen, I've seen the day when we've not had a whole lot. I'll just be honest with you. And these folks sitting in here right now, that's not only have seen the day that you've not had a whole lot, you just not had nothing. Can I say it that way? Can I ask you something? When's the last time? Think back to when you just had nothing. Think for just a second. Think about what all the Lord's done for you and brought you through and kept you through. Don't you think that we should just seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and He handles the rest of it? Am I making sense this morning? Everybody getting it? Sometimes you're looking at me like you ain't getting it. I don't know. He says for us to have a treasure that's in heaven. We lay up heavenly things. We lay up spiritual things. Look in verse 22. He talks the light of the body is the eye. He talks about our treasure to start with in this scripture, but then he talks about our direction because it is that eye that guides us. He said, the light of the body is the eye, and therefore if thine eye be single, the whole body shall be full of light. Then he talks about if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. You know, it's with the eye that you get guided. It's with the eye you see with, ain't it? And he says, if you've got that single, you know the word single means separate or one or only, or it means something that is simple or alone. It means not double or not complicated. You look at Webster's 1820 dictionary and you come on down through there, and you know it even describes the single as being pure or simple or incorrupt. Having a clear vision of divine truth. And then it gives Matthew 6 as its reference. When he talks about the single eye right here, listen, it's looking, something that is single is not looking at more than one thing at one time. And he says you're focused on what you need to be focused on, which is the light. And the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. When you're looking at the right thing, the right direction, the right way, you can be guided in the right way. Is Jesus Christ not the light of the world? Is he the one that we're not supposed to be focused? He said, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Are we looking to him and following him? The word of God, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, the light unto my path. When's the last time you opened your Bible at home? I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about at home. And sometimes I have to ask myself that question. If I was not getting ready for a message on Sunday and Wednesday, how much would I open my Bible? Do we make much of Him and make much of the Word of God? Because it is by that we're going to find the truth of God for our life. We're going to find direction. That's what He's talking about in these verses, is finding direction for your life and being guided and directed. Don't you want to be directed and that by God and be faithful in doing what He wants you to do? One of the worst places to ever be is not know where God wants you at. Man, that's a bad place to be. Sometimes it's hard to discern that stuff. It really is. And you know what I learned to do when I'm just not sure what the Lord wants? I try to wait on Him. And why do you say try, preacher? Because, man, I have a hard time waiting. I do. I have a hard time waiting on Him and seeing what He wants. But here's the thing. Most of the time, we know exactly what He wants us to do. It's just doing it. So He says right here, He says, if the light is single, we're looking at the right thing, we've got the right spiritual discernment, then we'll do the right thing as long as we follow Him. You know, is that not all that Solomon wanted? Was to have good and right discernment. But you know, if we have the evil eye, and he said it'll be full of darkness. The Bible said men stumble in darkness and fall. You won't know what to do when you're not looking at the right thing, when you're not making much of the right thing. Amen? When you're making much of the wrong thing, your discernment's wrong, you're going to go the wrong way every time. Every time. All I want to do is be looking the right way. Because if we get looking the right way, we can go the right way. Can I ask you something? How many of you ever got on the road that you really hadn't ever been on before? And you take off, and then your wife says, I believe you're going the wrong way. Now, what overjoys me is when I'm going the right way. And she thinks I'm going the wrong way. But I can tell you, 9 times out of 10, she's been more right than I have. Sometimes I have a little trouble with north, south, east, and west. But every now and again, I'll get it right. But you know what the Lord does when we come up somewhere? And boy, I sure don't want to compare Miss Latham to the Lord. But you know, sometimes He'll say, okay, you need to go right here. We were up Knoxville the other day, and I turned left. She said, you should have went that way. Back the other direction. So you know what we done? We found us a place to turn around. Miss Latham was right. We should have been going that way for sure. You know what the Lord allows you to do when you get headed in the wrong direction? He'll let you turn around if you get headed in the wrong direction. He'll let you get headed. If you get headed in the wrong way, listen, if you get some direction, if you get some light and get some instruction and realize that you're... And listen, if you get some instruction and that you're headed in the wrong direction, why would you keep going in the wrong direction? You're not going to get to where you need to be. So He tells them, he says, and if you look at this, by the way, He's making a comparison between two things this whole time. He talks about the two treasures, the earthly treasures versus the heavenly treasures. He talks about the single eye versus the evil eye. Look in the next verse right here in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either hate the one and love the other, else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So you know what I find in a lot of believers' lives? They try to do both of them. I preach on something like this morning, what you make much of, and you know what happens? Some people, instead of turning loose of the one that they need to turn loose of, they just try to serve both. They try to do that. Do you know that you can't serve the world and serve God at the same time? Man, you'll wear yourself out trying to. I mean, I'm going to beat you up while I'm preaching. Not even meaning to. And it's going to happen. You know why? Because you're trying to serve God and the world. At the same time, you're getting shot at from both sides at the same time. Why are you out? He said, no man can serve two masters. So in other words, right here, look right here. You notice right here, a master is one who rules or governs or directs. So what's ruling, governing, and directing your life? Whatever you make much of. Whoever you make much of. That's who's going to direct your life. He said what? No man can serve two masters. For either he'll hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. Can I ask you something? For you all that work a public job, you ever tried to work for two people at the same time? You ever tried to do that? Have two bosses at the same time. It never works. Because one will tell you to do one thing and prioritize this, and the other will tell you to do this, and they'll prioritize that. And you'll say, well, this last fellow said to do this, and they'll come to you and say, well, I didn't tell you to do that. You need to do this. I'm telling you to do this now. And then the first one comes back and wants to know why you're doing this. It's just awesome out there. It's no different for the believer who's trying to serve both at the same time. What you make much of. I've got a preacher friend of mine who interimed at a church for a while. And he told me this story. He said, and listen, he's a big deer hunter. And he just made a simple statement about, you know, come church time, you're being church. Not sitting in tree stand. Not sitting out in the woods. Well, there was a fellow there that he kind of got mad at the preacher. And he said, I noticed that he wasn't there for a couple of weeks. And he said, I asked some of the men where he was. And he said, well, preacher, you kind of made him mad. He said, well, what? He said, then what do I need to do? He said, do I need to go apologize or what? And he said, by the way, he said, what did I say that made him mad? And he says, well, you preached against this deer hunting, because when deer season starts, said, we don't see him for a couple of months. And he said, now, I can't apologize for that. He says, I ain't backing up on that. It's what you make much of. That's what's going to rule you and be the master of your life today. That's, you know, that master is the one that controls you and rules and governs in your life. It is a director. The dictionary ended it like this: one who has supreme dominion. What has supreme dominion in your life today? The Lord or this world? The direction that the Lord wants us to go, or the way that we want to go? No man can serve two masters. So after the Lord tells them all these things right here, he comes down through here and he tells them, he says, look, he said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink. He even said, don't take no thought for what you're going to put on. The very bare necessities, the Lord said, take no thought for them. You understand that, right? What you're going to wear and what you're going to eat. Does the Lord not want us to plan or not want us to work? Sure He does. I understand all that. But some people worry so much about those things, or they serve those things so much that they forget, or they just don't put Him first. As a matter of fact, He called them, oh, ye of little faith. Verse 32, we tend to forget this. He said, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. I know I've told you all this story before, but another preacher friend of mine picked up a hitchhiker one time, and he did. I remember him telling me this, and he said I was going to witness to him and tell him about the Lord. And he said when he got in the truck, I got started, said he told me more about the Lord than I knew. Now think about that for just a second. When we seek the Lord first, notice he said in verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.
when we seek Him and seek what He wants. You know, seek goes in search, to go search after. That's what the seek, word seek means. Go find, go ask, go look for. When's the last time that you said, Lord, what do you want me to do? What would you have me to do? And you know, if He comes back and says, you're doing exactly what I want you to do, and just keep doing what you're doing. But if you're doing in contrary to the Word of God and you get a voice back that says, keep doing what you're doing, it ain't the voice of the Lord. I can tell you that right now. I thought about in Acts chapter 13, you know, a couple of weeks ago we taught on Barnabas. And in Acts chapter 13, it talks about him being in the church at Antioch. It says, now there were in the church that were in Antioch certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger and Lucius of Cyrene and Manon, and which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. And then the Bible said this, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. If you go back and you look at Barnabas and the Apostle Paul's life, Saul's life prior to that, you find that they worked and they served and they sought what they wanted the Lord to do in their life. But said as they ministered to the Lord and fasted. You always find that prayer and fasting always goes together. You find right here that they were being faithful to do what God had put them to do. And then when God seen that they were going to be faithful to do what He was putting them to do here, He said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. I think when you begin to search out God's will and you just begin to be faithful and that to Him, He just keeps that opening more and more and more. And gives you more direction, and go, go. Preacher, you wanting to turn every one of us into a theologian or a preacher or a missionary? No, that ain't it. All I'm wanting every one of us to do is just follow the direction that Christ has for our life and be faithful to it and make Him first. And when we make Him first, all the other stuff, if I can put it that way, will fall into place. It'll fall into place. He said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Just follow Him. Just follow Him. And when we follow Him and make Him first, He takes care of the rest of it and gives strength. Let's bow our heads this morning.